Good morning, all. Bruce, as most of you are aware by now, is homesick. I texted Stacy this morning, and she said he's got a sinus problem, and he's got some kind of a stomach bug. So we have prayers for him. I want to thank Van for reading the scripture this morning. We know and we can appreciate that time is something we never get back. That prayer will never get back. The breakfast you had this morning, you'll never get back. That time that we spent this morning, you'll never get back. I look around and I see, not only in America, but worldwide, I've talked to Valon about this too, that there's a lot of people that waste time. There's a lot of people wasting their lives on things that are meaningless. A lot of people that do things that for no meaning at all. And instead of doing something productive, this wasting time, in effect, is dumbing down our society. We're not doing what we need to do, especially with God's work. So one of the questions I want to ask this morning is, who or what is our main priority? I think those of us sitting in here understand that it's probably Christ is our main priority or we wouldn't be here. But the question is it Christ or is it worldly things? There's many people this morning that are not here. They're not in any worship anywhere. What are they doing? Everything except what God commands, and that's to not forsake the assembly of the saints. So are we wasting our lives on worldly things? Are we doing things during the day or at night that take us away from God? If we are, we need to replace that focus on Christ. Time is precious. Here's some things we need to do. We need to make time for the Lord in prayer. We need to make sure that we walk with Him daily. We look out into the world, and the teaching of the world today is, it's all about me. And I say that shouldn't be. We need to put others before ourselves. We've gotten comfortable, and we need to put a stop to this comfortable Christianity. We need to seek to tell others about Christ. We talked this morning in Matthew chapter 7, ask, seek, and knock. We need to take that and put that into our lives, that we have to stop being comfortable. We have to stop thinking it's just all about me and I'm okay. We need to reach out. We need to tell others about Christ. And I say that because people are losing their salvation. And that should affect us. Sometimes we truly don't realize how short life really is. We're told in Scripture that we're on this earth but as the time of a vapor. But we go along in life and we tend to forget about it's short. I've talked to people one day, and then not very long afterwards, they were gone. One, on the day of judgment, it's going to be too late for anything. It's going to be too late to accept Christ. It's going to be too late to get to know Christ more. It's going to be too late to teach. We need to stop putting off God's will. I've titled this sermon, I Don't Have Time. Well, God, I just don't have time to do your will. I don't have time to make it to worship. I don't have time to make it to Bible class. But Lord, I've got time to do all these other things. I just don't have time for you. We have to stop being lazy. We have to look at ourselves and look in the mirror and ask ourselves what is going on with our relationship with Christ. Are you okay with your relationship? Are you doing what you need to be doing? Let's not waste our lives. A quote from Victor Hugo, short as life is, we make it still shorter by careless waste of time. How many times have you worked with your kids and you look at them, they've done something, and say, I just don't have time for this. Yeah, I see heads going around. It happens, all right? Or you tell your spouse, I don't have time to mess with this. We get up in the morning, it's Sunday morning, I don't have time to go to worship. I got other things I want to do. Save the excuses. They're not reasons. Sometimes, yes, we do have a reason. We got people home sick today. That's a reason. We also have people home watching television, watching football games, doing this or doing that. Save the excuses. It's not about having time. It's about making time. And I propose to you that if it matters, you will make time. You know, this thing about I don't have time is one of my pet peeves. I have a hard time dealing with someone saying, I don't have time. Why don't you just tell me you don't want to do it? Because that's what you're really saying. Or someone says, I'll try to be there. No, just tell me you're not going to show up. I can deal with that. But I don't have time. What if when Stacy called Preston and I yesterday, Preston to take class this morning, me to do the sermon this morning, and we just said to Stacy, just forget it, I don't have time. That's like telling God I don't have time to do your work. So just stop with the excuses. Another quote from a guy named Woodrow Kroll. He says, you have eternity to enjoy the honeymoon, but only a short time to prepare for the wedding. That's our life, people. We have a short time to prepare for our honeymoon or our eternity with God. We will all spend life in eternity. That time never ends. Where we go is our choice. Do we want to do God's will? Do we want to take the time and do what we're supposed to do? Or do we want to just let Satan be involved and forget about it and say, God, I just don't have time for you. But I got time for Satan because I'm going to do all these other things. Doesn't make sense, does it? Van read Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8. I'm not going to reread that this morning. But there's a season for everything. There's a time for every purpose under heaven. And you look in your own lives and you'll understand what that means. We make time for what we want to do. In Psalms chapter 39, verses 4 and 5. Psalms chapter 39, verses 4 and 5 reads this way. Lord, make me to know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am. Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is as nothing before you. Certainly, every man at his best state is but vapor. Lord, remind me how brief my time on earth will be. Remind me that my days are numbered. Remind me how fleeting my life is. That's what's being said in these verses. That should be a prayer that we would have to God. Remind me. Let me take stock of what's going on. Help me to understand I'm not here very long. Psalms 90. Psalms chapter 90, verses 7 through 12. For we have been consumed by your anger, and your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength, they are 80 years. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. Verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days so that we may grow in wisdom. Goes right along with, remind me how short my life is. Teach me to number those days. Teach me to be productive during those days. Teach me not to do the worldly things, but to do the things that I would do within Christ. Ephesians. Ephesians 5, verse 11. It says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. That's what we're talking about this morning. Where is your time being spent? I don't have time for God, says I have all the time in the world for Satan. Don't waste your time on useless work, this verse says. Mere busy work or the pursuits of darkness. And then it says, in the latter end of that verse, expose them. So don't waste time on useless work and mere busy work and pursuits of darkness. Expose these things for the bad they are. I ask you, how are you going to expose these things if you don't know the difference between bad and good? If you're accustomed to doing Satan's work instead of Christ's work, how are you going to know what to expose? Further down in verses 15 through 17, Paul says to the church in Ephesus, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Be very careful how we live. Don't live like those that are not wise. Live like those that are wise. Use every chance you have for doing good. Paul says, because these are evil times. Times haven't changed. This was written back in about 60, 61 AD. Nothing's changed. God hasn't changed. The church hasn't changed. His promises haven't changed. Only we change. So be very careful how we live. Don't live like those who are not wise, but live wisely. And then he says, use every chance you have for doing good. We're here this morning. We used that opportunity we had this morning as God woke us up to be here at worship service. Don't waste these opportunities. Don't waste the opportunity to get up 1 hour earlier and get here for Bible class. Oh, but God, I don't have time. I can't get around that early in the morning. Well, tell that to God. Don't tell it to me. That's an excuse. Don't be foolish, but learn what the Lord wants you to do. I know most of you probably get tired of hearing this, but 2 Timothy 2:15 and following tells you, study. Show yourself approved. Rightly divide the word of God. If you're not doing that, how are you going to know what's foolish? How are you going to know what God wants you to do? You can't know if you're not studying. Colossians 4 and 5. Four verses five, it says, walk in wisdom towards those who are on the outside, redeeming the time. Be wise in the way you act with those who are not believers. We don't have to walk on eggshells, but we need to be careful what we say. We need to be careful that we don't offend someone. So be wise in the way we act around non-believers. Use our time in the best way that you can. Take your eyes off the world. Put them on the Lord. That's what Colossians 4, 5 say to us. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2 says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, let us get rid of everything that hinders us. Let us get rid of the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with the endurance with that race that is set before us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of faith. For the joy set before him endured the cross, despising its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So with this, I would say discipline yourselves. Or let's put it this way, let's discipline ourselves, because I need the same teaching. We all need to focus on Jesus. We all need to lose sight of what's going on in the world. Yeah, it's going on, and we got to be a part of it. We got to live in it. But don't put your focus there. We got a lot of things that distract us out there that takes us away from Christ. I want to quickly look at some verses in Proverbs, and then we'll close out. Proverbs 6, 6-11. I'm just going to quickly look at these because we're running a little bit short on time. It says, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no captain, overseer, or ruler, provides her supplies in the summer and gathers her food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler and your need like an armed man. How long will you lie there, you lazy person? How long are you going to do nothing? That's what Proverbs there saying. Proverbs 12, 24. Proverbs 12, 24 says, the hand of the diligent will rule. Okay? We can stop there. But he clarifies that a little bit. He said, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. The diligent will take control. The lazy will be put to forced labor. Are we lazy or are we diligent? Proverbs 14, 23. In all labor there is profit, but idle chatter leads only to poverty. We toil, there's profit. We sit idly by and just chatter, there's nothing. It leads only to poverty. All talk and no action, it's not going to work. Proverbs 19, 15. Proverbs 19:15 says, laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. Don't be lazy when it comes to God's work. You'll find yourself off in Satan's land. You'll find yourself in a deep sleep or in darkness. You'll find yourself hungry because you don't have God taking care of you. I'm going to close this out. Matthew 8. Because this sums up the whole thing that we've talked about this morning. Matthew 8, 18 to 22. And when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave a command to depart to the other side. Then a certain scribe came to and said to him, "Teacher, I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." And then the next one, it says, "Then another of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, let me first go and bury my father.'" "Lord, I don't have time for you right now. I got to go do this." That's what we've been talking about this morning. Are we letting ourselves do the same thing that's being said here? "Lord, let me go do this first, and then I'll take care of business with you." And what did Jesus say? He said, "Follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. You follow me, you take care of business with me, the rest of it will take care of itself." "Oh, Lord, I just don't have time." That's a sad situation we put ourselves in sometimes. And yet we sell ourselves that it's okay. God will forgive me. God's grace will cover it. Maybe it will, maybe it won't. The Bible's pretty clear about what we're supposed to do. And if we're not doing that, it's pretty clear what's going to happen. A lot of people are losing their salvation. We need to be diligent in Christ's work. Time is of the essence. "I don't have time" is an excuse. It's not a reason. And if you disagree with me, you can take it up with me after we dismiss. The sermon is yours. We take this opportunity to issue an invitation. The invitation is to those that want to put Christ on in baptism, those that want to take care of business with Jesus instead of taking care of business with Satan. That time is now. The time is now. It's not something to say, "I don't have time to do." We also will give this opportunity to those that might need prayers. Might need prayers for strength, might need prayers to get back in what we've talked about this morning to Christ. Help me to do the things I need to do. And that starts with study, that starts with Bible classes and worship services. Because if that happens, you'll get stronger, things will be better in your life, and you'll see that God cares. With that, we're going to ask Don to lead us in the invitation song.